Welcome to the program, The Spirituality of the Catholic Church, as Father Paul Keenan teaches on God and man and the Catechism of the Catholic Church. And now, Father Paul Keenan.
Hello, I'm Father Paul Keenan. I'm Assistant Director of the Office of Communication to the Archdiocese of New York. Welcome to our continuing series on the spirituality of the Catholic Church and the spirituality of the Catechism of the Catholic Church. We are entering into the second half of our series now on the spirituality of the Catholic Church. We've talked about the creed and what we believe. We've talked about the sacraments and how we worship, and the liturgy, the overall liturgy of the Church, and how it tells us about the way in which we live our temporal lives as a foretelling, if you will, and an entry into our supernatural lives and the life of heaven and the overall plan of God. Now we want to enter into the third part of the Catechism, and if you remember the little image I mentioned somewhere along the way when we began this series, I mentioned that we can take our bodies, and we can sort of line the Catechism up according to our bodies. If we think of the creed, what I believe, what we believe, as being like the head, and if we think of the section on the liturgy of the Church and our liturgical life as being like the open arms lifted up to God in worship, then we can think of this third section of the Catechism as being like our legs, because we need to know where to walk and where not to walk. And then the fourth section of the Catechism, which will be about prayer, will be like our hearts. It'll be about our hearts. So here we are on the legs. We're on the legs of our faith right now. Do you ever hear anybody use that expression, giving something legs? You may have this great idea, and yet if you don't give it legs, which means make it concrete, then we're not going to get very far with it. We can have all the great ideas in the world, and if we don't have any way of putting them into practice and making them practical, if we don't give them legs, then we just are never going to get those ideas out into the world. We're never going to see any fruition from them. And so what the Catechism invites us to do now is to take our faith and to take our sense that God is in our timeline, however we want to measure our time. Now we have to give those ideas legs. We've got to put them into practice, put them into effect. It's not enough to just believe and not enough to know that God is with us. There has to be a way, or there have to be ways in which we give those things legs. And that's what we're going to do in this third part of the Catechism. The other thing we're going to do, and I really want you to attend to this as we share this together, we're going to see that the things which are teachings of the Church, part of the moral teaching of the Church, are also part of the spirituality of the Church. This is not just a barren law that somebody decided to lay down to give us the gloomies and to make life miserable for us. It's meant to actually be a joyous entry into God, because it's the signposts along the way. When you get to the studios of WEWN, you have to go along a very, very windy county highway in the middle of a big forest. It's an old country road, really, and it's not even paved. It's just a dirt road, and you're miles and miles twisting and turning through the forest, and there are lots of little forks in the road, and so they've had to put signs up that say along the way, this is how you get to the radio station. Otherwise, nobody'd come to work. They don't go the wrong way all the time. And so we have to do that. Well, these things that we are going to be talking about these next few weeks in this third part of the Catechism, these are the signs on the country road, signs along the way that says, go here and don't go there. That's really what it is. It's our way of getting where we want to go in life. Sometimes life is like a country road. The road gets washed out by the rains, that the things that bother us in life, the torrential rainstorms. And sometimes we just get tired walking along the road, and sometimes it gets dark and we get confused and don't know where to go. And so we need helps and signs and guides, and that's what this third part of the Catechism gives us. It gives us our legs. It gives us a sense of direction of where to go with those legs. So that's what we're going to be doing for these next several weeks as we go through the third part of the Catechism of the Catholic Church. And it's all spiritual. You'll see that in just a minute. It's all part of this call that we have to be made in the image and likeness of God and to participate in God's triune life, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Well, if you didn't get that just from my saying it, you would open up the Catechism to the third part, and right at the very beginning, you would see a statement that man's vocation is life in the Spirit, that man's dignity is that we are made in the image and the likeness of God. Over and over again, since we've opened up this catechism, we have heard that statement. It is probably, I think, one of the two most important statements that the catechism stresses over and over again. The other is about the Trinity, that we're called to life in the Trinity, to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and that's how we are called to be the image and likeness of God. But it says there, right flat out in the Catechism, our dignity is that we are made in the image and likeness of God, and our vocation is life in the Spirit. Now, you see, that's interesting. That's very interesting here, because this section of the Catechism is the section in which we're really going to talk about the moral law. And we often think that the law and the Spirit are two separate things. You know, I'm going to lay down the law to you. If you say that to your children, or if your dad ever said that to you, it's time to lay down the law. He certainly didn't mean it's time to live in the Spirit. At least not at my house. I don't know about your house. But here's the interesting thing. When God says he's going to lay down the law, he also says he's going to lay down the Spirit and lift us up with the letter of the law into the Spirit. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing how our God, how our Heavenly Father works? Well, the Catechism spends some time reflecting on this truth, that we, mankind, are made in the image and likeness of God. We have a soul, an immortal soul. It's spiritual and it's immortal. And that soul is that very part of ourselves, if you want to call it that, where we are really made in the image and the likeness of God. That's what the soul does. So the soul is. If you're good old Aristotle the Greek, it's our principle of self-motion. If you're Plato, it's that by which we participate in the divine ideas. But if you're a Christian, if you're a Catholic, the soul is that spiritual and immortal aspect or part or feature of ourselves whereby we are made in the image and likeness of God. So, if you want to look for God, we have to look within. I mean, didn't Jesus tell us that the kingdom of God is within us? And as we go through this section of the Catechism, it would not be a bad idea for us to think about that statement that Jesus made. What does it profit a man? What does it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and suffer the loss of his soul? What would a man give in exchange for his soul? Because you see, that, I think, is exactly what has happened. What has happened in our world. We have this information superhighway, which I happen to love. I mean, it's really great. You get on the computer, and there's all sorts of great stuff going on, but there's all sorts of raunchy and terrible stuff going on that internet as well, which we're battling. Some of us are trying to fight and get that stuff off of there and get more good stuff on so the people can really be positively influenced by that. But we have all this information at our fingertips. We have the latest news and weather and sports from all over the world in an instant. We have every bit of materiality that we could possibly think of. And yet, in so many ways, we've lost our soul. We've lost the ability to know how to live. We've lost our wisdom for living, our design for living. We know everything. We know everything except how to live. Isn't that amazing? We've gotten ourselves so worn out by all this abundance that we have that we've forgotten, in many instances, the art of living. So our religion comes along and it says to us, let us teach you the art of living. That is another way, by the way, to look at this series on the catechism. It's teaching us the art of living, how to live our lives soulfully, caring for our soul. Thomas More, in his wonderful book, Care of the Soul, talks about, in one place there, about the word curate, because he speaks, says we have to take care of our souls. And the word curate, if you are old enough in the church to remember, is the people that we now call the parochial vicars or sometimes the associate pastors in our parishes, the assistant priests in our parishes, were called the curates. And if you think of someone like the curé of Ars, that's a French version of that word, he was the one who had the care for the soul. The priest in the parish was the person who cared for souls. And wouldn't that be a wonderful description of what a priest does? And remember I said there are ordained priests, but all of us are called by our baptism to share in the priesthood of Christ. And in that universal sense of priesthood, we are all called to care for souls. We're all called to nurture that life of God within us. We are all called to nurture the image and likeness of God in everyone we meet, and in ourselves as well. So that's why, from a particular point of view, our new catechism and our Catholic religion is all about a design for living. It's about God's design for living. God's saying to us, the way you people are going at it, you're losing your souls right and left. You're losing your sense that I'm with you. Let me show you my design for living. So we are, the catechism tells us, made in the image and likeness of God, because we have souls. The human soul is spiritual and immortal. But also we're made in the image and likeness of God because we are meant to be a communion of persons, just as God is a communion of persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We're made in the image of God in that we participate in the light and power of the divine spirit. We have reason and free will. And the Spirit of God is constantly coming to us, helping us to cry out, Abba, Father, when we do not even know how to pray or what to say to God. The Spirit is giving us the words to do that, the words to return, the words to make that conversio mentis ad Deum, that turning of the mind to God. We have the gift of reason and the gift of free will right within our nature, but they need healing. They need direction. The Spirit of God in our souls is there to give them that direction and that guidance that they need. Through our reasons, we receive the voice of God. Did you ever think about that when you're trying to reason out a problem? Now, why we say that prayer to the Holy Spirit that we said before, come Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful. Because we need the Holy Spirit to guide our reasons. But our reason is that voice of God inside us. I know by reason that I shouldn't do that. Well, that's the voice of God. When we reason correctly, we reason with the voice of God. We hear the voice of God. And when we live a moral life, we bear witness to the dignity of the human person. You know, that's a very important thing the Catechism tells us. I can go around all day saying, yes, I believe in the dignity of the human person, and every human person has that dignity regardless of race, religion, creed, or ethnic background or anything else. And I can say it and I can yell it from the housetops. But if I don't live a moral life, I'm not practicing what I preach. It's when we live a moral life that we really believe in the dignity of the human person. And we are made in the image of God, though wounded by original sin, because we have new life in the Spirit through the grace of Christ. So you see, there's the first thing you want to think about before we start thinking about our legs and of what we should do and what we should avoid doing. Remember that we're made in the image and likeness of God. You see, what the Catechism is doing is very much like what God did himself before he gave the Ten Commandments. We always quote the Ten Commandments, beginning with, I am the Lord thy God, thou shalt not have strange gods before me. But when we do that, we leave out a section. Because what God actually said was, I am the Lord your God who led you out of the land of Egypt. And then he gave them the commandments. Then he gave them the first commandment and the other nine. He had to remind them first of how much he loved them. And the Catechism does the same thing. It says, we're made in the image and likeness of God. Now we're going to give you the moral law that shows you how important the moral law is to your destiny as human beings. But even before it does that, the Catechism takes this concept of our being made in the image and likeness of God, and it tells us something really, really exciting and really, really wonderful about ourselves. It tells us that we are called to beatitude. We have a vocation to beatitude. You see, that's an important thing for us to get, because how many people ever remind us or tell us of that in our daily life? How many times does your spouse say to you, oh, honey, you have a vocation to beatitude. You have a vocation to be blessed and to be happy in the Lord. How many times does our boss, our employer, say that to us? You know, you're called to be blessed, to be eternally happy. Usually they tell us we're not doing enough to increase the profits of the company or something. But the church tells us we have a vocation to beatitude. In fact, the eight beatitudes, it says, depict the countenance of Christ and portray his charity. The eight beatitudes, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are the meek, and so forth, they show us the face of Christ, the face of Christ, which we long to see. If you long to see the face of Christ, if you long to see his features, go read the Sermon on the Mount in St. Matthew. Go look at the eight beatitudes, and there you'll see the face of Christ. And it's the gaze of Christ. As you see it and as it shines upon you, you will become like Christ. Even our desire for happiness is a desire for God. We all respond to our natural desire for happiness, and God gave us that natural desire in order to draw us to himself. We all want to be happy no matter what we do. We want to be happy. Even when we sin because we think that's going to make us happy. God put something inside us that made us want to be happy. And he put that there because that was the way in which he was going to get us to come back to himself, because he is our perfect happiness, the happiness for which we're made. So you see, that's the thing. Even when we go astray, God is not letting go of us. Right deep within us, he's giving us that desire to be happy, which is the one thing that can bring us back to him when we go astray. And then there's our happiness as Christians, the happiness that is promised to us. I remember in the Creed, we talk about the life of the world to come, and the communion of saints, and life everlasting. Well, all of that is what we call Christian beatitude, the coming of the kingdom of God, our vision of God, our entering into the joy of the Lord, and our entering into God's rest. If you're running around crazy sometime, trying to get everything done, take a moment and enter into God's rest. You'll see how happy you can be. God put us here, the Catechism tells us, to know, love, and serve him, just like the old Catechism told us. Why did God make us? God made us to know, love, and serve him in this life and to be happy with him in the next. Beatitude makes us partakers, it says, of the divine nature and of eternal life. So our desire for happiness connects us not only to our own human nature so that we get back in touch with ourselves, but it connects us also with the nature of God, who is beatitude, who is happiness itself. So, you see, this catechism of ours is more than a self-help book. It's more than a self-help program. It does promise to restore us to our human natures if we follow it, yes. But it takes us way, way up above that, too, into the nature of God. Because we're made in that image and likeness. We're made for that union with God. And the Catechism tells us that our vocation to happiness is something that surpasses our understanding and our powers. It is something that is supernatural. It is something that is freely given by God. And our desire for happiness confronts us with decisive moral choices. And that's where it gets hard. That's where it gets hard. And the Catechism reminds us of that. That sometimes in life we have difficult moral choices to make because we have a conflict of values and because so very often our society tells us that things are right which are wrong, or doesn't even look at moral wrong. Says we have to just separate that out and we're considering what to put into our laws. But we know differently from that. We know there's no true freedom unless things are morally right. Well, our church, our religion reminds us of that. Because, you know, we live in a society that does not like us to think very much about responsibility, about our real responsibility. We live in a society that tends to say, as long as I can express it, I have a right to express it. We live in a society in which the fundamental human right is the right to self-expression. Now, the right to self-expression is fine. It's fine and dandy, but the problem is what we express makes a difference as well. It's not only the fact that I can say something, but what I say makes a real difference. I can't just say anything. I can't just express anything. There is a responsibility to the world to choose very carefully the things that I express. I not only have freedom, I have responsibility, and one of the secrets of our happiness, one of the reasons that we are not as happy as we could be these days, lies in the fact that we are so hung up on freedom that we forget that freedom and responsibility go hand in hand. And when we do that, when we do forget that, we distort the notion of freedom. And the Catechism reminds us that the power of freedom is rooted in our reason and will. To act or not to act, to do this or to do that, and so to perform deliberate actions on one's own responsibility. Freedom is the power to do all of that. Freedom is the power rooted in reason and will, to act or not to act, to do this or do that, and so perform deliberate actions on one's own responsibility. And then it tells us something that if you stop to think about it, it will just knock the socks off you. The more one does what is good, the freer one becomes. Oh, I don't want to do the moral law. I'm free. I don't need to do the moral law. I don't want to do that. Don't talk to me about law. But no, the Catechism says the more we do what is good, the freer we become. And that there is no true freedom except in the service of what is good and what is just. My bishop, John Cardinal O'Connor, has on his coat of arms as the motto, there can be no love without justice. And the Catechism says there can be no freedom except in the service of what is good and what is just. And it says furthermore that it is freedom that makes man responsible, to the extent that our actions are voluntary. Freedom is what makes us responsible. Oh, sure, ignorance, inadvertence, duress, fear, habits, and inordinate attachments do mitigate our freedom. But our freedom is what makes us responsible. We have an obligation to look and examine our lives, to look at them, to examine them, to say, am I being held by inordinate attachments? Am I being held by factors within myself that I could do something about so that I would be freer? And that's part of our freedom. And the right to exercise our freedom, the Catechism says, is inalienable. Nobody can take it away from us. It's part of ourselves. But freedom, remember, implies responsibility. To be truly free, we must be responsible people. And that we will not be happy people, we will not be people of beatitude, we will not be people who are shining with the happiness of God, radiant as the image and likeness of God, if we are not people who are responsible. And in order for our actions to be moral, the Catechism tells us, the object chosen must be morally right, our intention must be morally right, and the circumstances in which we live and choose our actions must be morally right. And for true morality, all three of those things must be present. We cannot do evil so that good may come from it. What we choose must be good, our intentions must be good, and the circumstances surrounding our lives and our actions must be good. In order to be free, we must be responsible in our choices. And so we begin the legs of our journey in faith and the Catechism, the legs of our spirituality, remembering that we are called to life in the Spirit, remembering that we are made in the image of likeness of God, and we are made for beatitude. We have a vocation, all of us, to blessedness, to happiness, to mirror in our lives and with every part of ourselves the face of God.
Thank you for joining us today for the Spirituality of the Catholic Church with Father Paul Keenan. You may write to Father Keenan in care of the Office of Communications, Diocese of New York, 10011 First Avenue, New York, New York, 10022.